Well, I'm going to give you guys a hint.
Driving day by day, you better have the strength to pray in the valley low. And how hard your fight has been, how deep the pain within, wounds that no one else has seen, hurts too much to show. And all the doubt you're standing in between, and all the way that brings you to your knees. To shrink when you find the one who knows. The chains of doubt that held you in between, one by one, are starting to break free. He knows.
The title is He Knows, and God knows everything. Amen. I'm going to be going on the book of Exodus, and I'm sure that all of us have heard this story at one point or another. As I was reading this and then looking into it, you know, it took me just a little bit beyond the story of the crossing of the Red Sea, right? And everybody's seen the movies, and I got to tell you, read the Bible, not the movie, okay? Read the Bible. You can watch the movie if you want, but read your Bible, okay? Because the Bible is going to tell you exactly what happened and how it happened, okay? Hollywood is going to give you their version of how it happened. Okay? And once you read the word, all right, and you see the movie, okay, you're going to look at the movie going like, something is not right with this movie. Okay? And there's a lot of things that aren't right with those movies. All right? So again, I encourage you to read your word. So, I start here. It says, God always knows what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and why. Right? God knows what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and why he wants to do it. Right? We can't always say that. We think we know why we're doing it. We think we know what we're doing and why we're doing it, or where we're doing it. Okay? It says Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know," who knows? God knows. That's not me writing this. Right? It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And it says, "Declares the Lord." So that right there tells you everything. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. I love it out there when people, you know, all these commercials and, you know, all these specialists that they call themselves, this is, "Well, I know what you need. Okay? I know how I can help you with your problem." Okay? I can tell you right now, my older brother is in bad shape because he is taking some medication. He's in Puerto Rico. Doctors tell him, "I know what you need." So they gave him medication. My sister-in-law calls, "Your brother's in bad shape. He's having side effects to the medication." Okay? It looks right now like he's got Parkinson's. He's shaking and everything. Can't stand still. Thought the doctor knew. I thought they knew. Right? That this medication is going to help him. So, believe me, they don't always know. And same thing happened to me. You know, I went to see a cardiologist, and he tells me one thing, and this is what you need, and he almost killed me. The cardiologist, heart specialist. He knew. All he knew was how to get the money from the insurance company. That's all he knew how to do. Okay? Because this guy's office is like the Taj Mahal. That's his entrance to his office. Okay? And it's all based on him knowing what medication you need. Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you obviously knew which doctor to go to.
I did. I dropped him like a ton of bricks, and thank God for Gabby. I talked to Gabby. Gabby says, "I got somebody that he knows better." Yeah. And you know, and he did. He did. So thank God for God putting the right people in the right path. Amen. It says when God told Gideon that he had too many men and that he only needed 300. To fight against 1,000 enemies, God knew what he was doing. Yep. Again, if you read the scriptures, if you read these stories. When God told or asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, God knew what he was doing. When he told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell him to let his people go, God knew what he was doing. And I added this one here. When God brought you to him and to this church, he knew what he was doing. It says, I put on there, he died so that you can live, to let people know who he is in your life. And everybody here can be a witness to that, right? I know that Roger and Beth have their story. Everybody has a story as to how and why God brought them to this church. He knew what he was doing. God had a purpose for your life. He brought you to this church for a reason. Sometimes we might not understand what that reason is, okay? But little by little, God will reveal that. I know that Eli shared the last time too, right? He said he didn't know. God, what is it you want me to do? And slowly but surely, God revealed what he wants him to do. And everybody here that's eaten, thanks God that he put that in your late heart. Amen. See how it all works out? God knows what he's doing. Okay? And he put everybody in here for a specific reason. Some cook. Ricardo, he does that. He blesses us with that. Amen. Some people teach. Some people preach. Some people clean. Some people usher. Everybody that God brought into this church was for a reason. He has a purpose for every single person in here. So God knows the end results. Amen? God knows the end results. We don't know the end results. We think sometimes we know the end results. Right? We kind of plan today, say, okay, by the end of the day, I should be here. Right? And sometimes it don't work that way. You know why? Because you really don't know the end results. We kind of hope for the end results. We kind of think that we know where it's going to end up. Sometimes it works out. Okay? But we're not always knowing exactly how it's going to end. There's a guy that took off from his house. He said all his plan was is to grab out his motorcycle and put it in the back, in the garage. That was his plan. His thinking was, how bad can this be? How hard can this be? All I'm going to do is go out here, grab my motorcycle, and put it in the garage, because he had it sitting in the front of the street. That's all he had to do. He jumped out his motorcycle, went around the corner. This guy took a stop sign, killed him. He didn't know the end results. In his mind, the end result is going to put the motorcycle in the garage, go inside, and finish his dinner. Right? In every story, the people maybe thought to themselves, this is too hard to do. How many times have we said that?
Every time.
Every time. It's too hard. It's too hard. Right? And sometimes, you know what? In society nowadays, even when it's easy, we still complain and say it's too hard. Even when it's easy, we'll still complain and say it's too hard. How many times do we say, I don't know why God is having me go through this? How many times have we said that? Come on, we're going to be honest. I've said that a lot of times. Right, just this morning. Just this morning, right? Why is God making me go through this? Right? What did I do wrong? Right? I thought he loved me. Right? I used to say that with my parents. He used to spank me. You know, what did I do wrong? If you look back, I did a lot of things wrong. You know, and I deserved a lot of times to get spanked. So I never got spanked. I got beat downs, okay? That wasn't, we didn't get the little, yeah, that's right. They know what I'm talking about. Okay, any Puerto Ricans in the house, we know exactly how that works, right? Spanish people, we know how that works, right? Spank, what is that? Spank, time out. Time out was when mom laid you out. That was it. That was our time out, right? And nowadays, you try to do that, you go to jail, right? Maybe that's why some of the problem is. I'm not saying go out and beat your kids. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we need to, you know, do the right thing. It says if he only, and we ask this, if he only knew how hard this is to do. And I heard this story right here. That's why I put it down. The story of the son who hated his father. We're talking about, you know, it being hard. This guy, young kid, mother, father, his dad used to drink a lot. And on one of those drinking binges, his dad killed his mother. Right in front of him. Killed her. For years, this boy hated his father. I mean, with a passion. You know, so much that every day he would wake up hoping that his dad would just be dead. That's how much he hated him. Every day, you know, he would hear maybe that there was an accident on the freeway and two people dead. He would hope that one of them was his father. That's how much he hated his father, because his father took away his mother, killed her, murdered. Father's locked up. And every day, you know, he just that hardened heart for his father. He just wished that in prison somebody would just kill him. He wanted him dead. He hated him so much that he wanted him dead. And one day he hears somebody preaching about love and mercy. And he's like, man, that's not me. I could never do that. Too hard. Right? But like we've been reading in the song, God knows what he's doing. You know? So this guy listens to this guy preaching. And he starts getting convicted. And he turns around and gives his heart to the Lord. But even with that, he still couldn't forgive his father. He still hated his father. And every day, can you imagine the battle that was going on in this person's heart? Hearing the God's word telling him that he needs to forgive and love because God knows his plans for him. And all along, he still hates his father. So one day he says, you know what? Something's got to give. Something's got to change in my life. I can't keep going to church and saying I love God and doing all this and hate my father. Doesn't work that way. So he finally got on his knees and prayed and begged God to forgive him and to change his heart. So he heard the service one day about forgiveness again. He says, that's it. I'm going to the prison to visit my father. So he goes to prison to visit his father. While he's there, he starts sharing God's word with his father and how God changed his heart. And he says, Dad, you know what? God loves you, and he can change your heart. So his dad says, you know, I don't know about that, son. He goes, Dad, God loves you, and he can change your heart. So his father turned around and says, you know what, son? If God can do in me what he's done in you, then your God is a true God. And you know what? It's time. So right then and there, he does a sinner's prayer with his father. And his father gives his heart to the Lord. This guy goes to church on Sunday and gives that testimony. Who knew all that can happen? God. God plans every single thing in our lives. Sometimes we just want to deviate from it and try and do our own thing. Right? How many people have done that? Oh, there's a lot of people who need to raise their hands up. We all have done that. Now, like I said, that's hard to do. But in Christ, we can do everything and anything. So a lot of times, or even most of the times, we forget that God can do what he can do. Instead, we get so caught up in what's going on. And we take our eyes off him. And I put down, oh Lord, why me? And I put down, why not? It says, he died for you. He died for all of us. Why not? You know, because a lot of times we want to question God on what he's doing because we just don't understand what he's doing. Okay? And some of that is because we're not digging into him. We're not having that intimate relationship with God to know what he's trying to tell us. We need to have our spiritual ears open. We try to listen to God with human ears, right? It's like, well, you know, I think I know what he's saying. You think? You better dig into the word and bend them knees and say, God, exactly show me what it is you want me to do. Because a lot of times we deviate from that. We go somewhere else. It doesn't start working out. And then all of a sudden, who's the first person we want to blame? God. It's all his fault. It's all his fault that I left this church, went to that church, and it's not going right. God had it wrong. He told me to go there. No, he didn't. That's what you just wanted to do. Or how many people just leave the church? While I was doing this study, I came across some people that made comments. Remember, we're reading about Exodus. And one of the comments, this guy put on there that the story about them crossing the Red Sea was not true. That it was fairy tale. That what really probably happened was that there was an earthquake, a tsunami was coming, and Moses knew that. And when the water went back, that's when they crossed. And this guy was a Christian. That's what he called himself. That's what he called himself. And he says, and I'm a Christian. He goes, we need to stop believing those fairy tales. Okay? That's his comment. So he'd rather believe that Moses knew the exact time of a tsunami. He'd rather believe that than believe that God has the power to part a sea. He'd rather believe that. That apparently Moses has more power than God, somehow, in his mind. And he's a Christian. I mean, the stories that I read of the comments that people make about these stories. And of course, there's a lot of them that put their thoughts in there about, you know what, this is God's word and God's word is true. Whatever God said happened, happened.
It's been several years since I heard the documentary, but so I forget how low they said the water was, but scientists had said that that part of the sea, the water goes down really low at certain times of the year. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of cool. God drowned them in water that they shouldn't have drowned it in.
Right? If you start believing some of those stories that they say. So all these guys, chariots and everything, drown in 2 feet of water. Right? I mean, some of the stuff that they put out is ridiculous. They rather believe that than to believe that God's word is true. And I start here. Exodus chapter 14 says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hereth. Forgive me if I don't pronounce that correctly. It says between Megiddo and the sea. Now, I looked up this word right here. Well, you know what that means? It's a big tower. Something that's very big, very tall. It's like a big tower. It says they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. It says Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I looked up this word too. We've got a lot of looking up. Amen. And that pretty much means that they were just kind of, you know, entrapped, you know, spending that much time in the desert, in the wilderness. Amen. It says here, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. That's what God said. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Like they didn't have it that bad already. Right? Don't sometimes God will allow things to happen in our lives and we're going like, why are you doing this? I'm already going through a tough time. I don't need more. Right? I'm struggling right now. You know, the rent's due. The cable's due. And now you're telling me I'm out of gas? Right? Really, God? You know, I couldn't have a full tank. My tank's got to be empty. And I got to work on Monday. And it's Sunday, 9:30 at night. It says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain, but who? But I, Jesus, will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Right here. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. Now, I'll get into some of that. But if you read the story, it wasn't 10, 20 people that were chasing him. Right? He didn't have like a SWAT team, you know, chasing him. It says here, and all his army. You know, when God's going to do something, he does it great. Amen? Just like every single one of us. When he brought us all here together, that's something great. I mean, when you get Puerto Ricans and Polacks in the same room. I mean, yeah. I mean, 20 years ago, how many people here thought that was going to happen? Amen? But here we are. You let one in. You let one of us in, okay? And you'll be blessed. Right? You got two great cooks here. How many people got blessed this morning with some great breakfast? So it's a good thing, right? Having us here is a good thing. Okay? I mean, God orchestrates things. He does things to bring us together. Amen? Amen. A lot of people are going to go home thinking about that one for a while. You know? But, you know, again, you know, to demonstrate His glory, you know, He makes sure that when He does something, He does it great. He does it grand. God doesn't do something just, you know, I'm just going to do just this a little bit here. No, when He does things, He does it great. Everything He does is great. Right? He brought us to Him, everybody here. We're all blessed. All right? Because He has a specific place for every single one of us in heaven. All we got to do is be obedient to His word. It says, I hear, you know, it's funny because when I was listening to Merrill, is it Merrill? On Wednesdays? The one that teaches on Wednesdays?
Milton.
Uncle Milton. And I thought about that, and it's put down, who? The Lord said. So when the Lord says something, right, what do we want to do? Or what should we do? I got to listen. Because I tell you what, when I was growing up and my mom said, hey, listen, I better listen. Okay? Because a lot of times when we don't listen, okay, we start wandering off and doing things that God did not tell us to do. And then there's consequences. And then we want to run back and blame God for that again. And it wasn't His fault. He didn't do anything wrong. We didn't listen. God sometimes is talking to us, and we just don't want to listen. Because a lot of times we just don't like to hear what He's got to say. You know, a lot of times we just like, okay, yeah, all right, Lord, I get it. And He's trying to correct us, all right? And we're just like, okay, yeah, all right, fine, I get it. And you really don't. You just want to stop Him from telling you, right? But God is great. He'll find other ways to try and get you to listen. Amen? Just like our parents, right? Sometimes she'll try vocally. And when we don't listen, then she goes physically. Right? Now you're listening. Okay? Because you have no choice. All right? You know, you know why it's wonderful that I hear? Because, you know, they probably do the same thing to their kids now. You know, when those kids don't want to listen to something like that. All right? It says, who the Lord said. It says, what did He say? To turn around and camp by the sea. We're going on the story here on everything just prior to them crossing the Red Sea. Okay? Now, a lot of people just dig into the part of crossing the Red Sea. No, that's wonderful. That is a great miracle. Okay? But to me, it's like, well, you know, what happened just before that? What was going on just before that? Okay? Because sometimes we read a story and we'll just read right through it and we won't hurry up and get to the ending. I did that a lot of times in school. Okay?
I just started at the end.
Right? You know, and one of the times He got me, I was in ROTC in high school, and there was a test, right? And you had to start it. Okay, you start the test. So I went ahead and went almost to the ending. Okay? And the first thing it tells you to do is don't write your name. But I didn't read that part. Right? That's the first thing it really said, the instructions, because it gives you a paragraph. They write something that says, don't write your name. And in big, bold letters, Ray Silva. And I turned that in. I had to do 50 push-ups because I didn't listen. I wasn't paying attention. It was right there in front of me. And how many times does that happen in our lives? How many times God puts something right in front of us? Okay, and we're so hurried to get to the back. We're so hurried to see the end results. All right? That we lose what he has right in front of us. And it says the why. Said he will show his great power and will be glorified. This is just part one. Next week I'll get into part two and I'll get into more detail. But, you know, this ministered to me because there's, you know, there's just so much. And these verses right here, I mean, Bob and Pastor Don can teach 2 years.
Let me ask you that.
Yes.
If you dig into it, just like you said, the very fact that this was a military campaign that was going on, you always go look for the high ground. They crossed the high ground and went down to the low ground. And you always leave a mean of escape. They put their back to the sea. Mm-hmm. What it's saying there is Pharaoh seen this and thought, God screwed up. Now is my chance. Because his heart was hardened from having his firstborn son killed. Come on. But he seen an advantage. He thought God had made a mistake. God never makes mistakes, just like you said. And that just lured him in to the trap that God had sent.
Right. Yes.
You know, I'm so thankful that God answers our questions if we go to him and seek him, to be honest, because I asked him a lot of questions yesterday. And because I'm going through challenges, and like Ray says, I allow those situations to overtake me so much that my flesh comes out. So I was talking to God, you know. But anyway, the word, the song he chose, I mean, this is so God. He is such a blessed, we're so blessed to serve him. Because if you seek him and you ask him, he makes it so clear for us. He makes it so evident, but we have to seek him. We have to read his word. And then not always see ourselves as the bad person because of things he's asked us to do. Because we will be the bad person because you don't know how that person's perceiving me and what I'm saying. But, I mean, I do. We all make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. But if we stay on that path, being here, being dedicated to his word and worshiping and serving him, he will answer it as plain and clear as day because he brought it out in Ray's mouth. You know what I'm saying? Questions that I asked. And then the song. And then these two cooking. Fred drove up to the church, not even knowing what they were cooking. He goes, I hope they have chorizo and eggs and beans. Look at how God, how faithful he is. If we ask him, and say, my heart is hard. It is hard. It's hard because of my youth and the beatings and the unlove and the whatever the issues are. But God is bringing you through. He's bringing us all through. If what? We seek his face. We seek him, not my mind, not my heart, but his heart.
Amen. Pastor, when are you going to teach us?
I'll finish up with this last tile right here. It says, sometimes God will allow things to happen. Not for punishment, sometimes, but more so that through those tough times, our faith and our spirit life will grow. And his name will be glorified because only with him can we make it. Right? I mean, it's right there. You know, we have to seek, like Esther said, you know, we have to seek God. You know, because we can't make it on our own. It says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And put down there, why not make it easy for the people of Israel? Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? So he can receive the glory. And through the story, through the rest of the story next week, we'll find out exactly how God works all that out. And it says here, Psalms 118:7, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. You know, so when you're being attacked by the enemy, seek God. When you're being tempted, seek God. Amen. When things are getting tough, seek God. My wife has this plaque in her bathroom. It says, pray harder when it's hardest to pray. And it's right there. You can't miss it. Pray harder when it's hardest to pray. And ain't like that sometimes? I mean, we're just going through something and the last thing in our mind is, I need to pray for this. You know, or especially when God's going to bless you with something, you know, and you just want it so bad, okay, that you don't even listen to God. Oh, I know this is mine. And you start going towards, you know, the Lamborghini, right? Right? And God's like, I told you I'd get you a car. All right? But I want the Lamborghini. All right? Or the Ferrari, or, you know, whatever it is. And I want the nice sports car. God says, I'm going to get you a car. You asked me for a car. Yeah, Lord, but didn't you hear when I said Ferrari? This doesn't look like a Ferrari. Amen. But you know what? God knows everything. God knows, and more than likely, I'm going to get about 1,000 tickets in that car. God knows everything. Amen. So next week, I'm going to come back and finish with part two. Amen. Don't forget, we got prayer downstairs. To start up the service, let's start it up right. Let's start up with prayer and then get us some praise and worship music. Amen. Ricardo, can you close us in prayer, please, brother?
Thank you, Father, for this teaching today, Father. Father, I just pray that we really ponder on it and we really take it to heart, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that you bless this service today, that we all continue to glorify you, Father, and thank you so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.